Hello and welcome to The Golfing Mind, the podcast which looks at the game of golf in general, but the mental game of golf in particular. And the mental game of golf, I guess in truth, is quite an unsexy part of the game. We'd much rather find ways to hit our drives 310 yards with 5 yards of draw on it, or get backspin on our 5 irons. But sadly, the truth is that the mental side of the game has more impact on our ability to perform well than I think any other aspect of the game. And though it may be unsexy, I think it is something that the more we understand its impact, the more we can manage it and use it to, if not help us improve, from stop us getting worse. Which kind of very magnificently brings me on to the topic for today. Oh, I think I've forgotten to introduce myself. Robin Seeger, the author of a number of books, including Silent Mind Golf, Silent Mind Putting Golf Under Pressure, and a book called Natural Born Winners. My fascination is always to do with our ability to perform at the highest level, especially when under the greatest stress. And to that end, I've interviewed many, many people. I've studied, read, researched about people who have had to operate under great pressure. Most often we look at people who are mountaineers or explorers, people who serve the country going into combat and find themselves going into genuine life and death situations, people who work in industries where the pressure or the risk of failure can be quite catastrophic. So when you put it into that context, you realize golf isn't life or death, it's a game. But like all games, we want to play it well and we want to play it to win. So my topic today is simply emotional overload. You know, there's an awful sense when you're on the golf course in a match and you can feel yourself getting very tense, tight, and you realize your emotions are running high. It's impossible to ignore them. It's impossible to think, well, you know, I'll just take a deep breath and I'll be fine. It doesn't work like that. So can we use this emotional overload to our benefit? And that's really it. And the answer is no. You know, in a word, no. And I've seen situations in other sports where people are, you know, crying as the national anthem is played, which is good at one level from a TV producer's point of view, which I used to be. But from a performer's point of view, I've always felt there's a sense they're overloaded. You know, those emotions are flowing, the hormones, or adrenaline particularly, is flowing. The emotional center in the brain is highly reactive. And I think that's not the best place to be to play your best golf. So let's start with the first of three parts of emotional overload. Number one is losing your temper. There's very few players at any level in the game who at some point in the game don't lose their temper, who don't get really, really frustrated with what's just happened, and they become angry. And you see this, you see people, and I do this too. To this day, I can still do this. I can still bang a club on the ground after a shot. It's just such a disappointing shot. And suddenly, we have what's called hijacking. So an event happens and you are angry before you've had time to rationalize it. And the best way to avoid doing this is, it's just the practice, I call it the practice of acceptance. So when you hit a bad shot, one that really, really upsets you, annoys you, causes you for a moment to lose your temper, rather than get angry at yourself, accept the shot with the indifference of an observer. And by that, I mean, if you're playing golf with a fellow or another player and they hit an awful shot, you don't get angry. You don't get upset. Well, it's not your shot, obviously. But if you hit a bad shot, rather than identifying with the shot, what is the best thing to do is to become the observer of the shot almost dispassionately, and rather then get upset, say to yourself, what happened there? Or why did I do that? Or what was the reason that happened? This is good for two reasons. Number one, it stops you identifying with the shot, thereby lessening your self-confidence. And the second reason is it allows you to be detached. A second tip when you find yourself getting emotionally overloaded is to talk to yourself in the most positive, helpful, sympathetic way possible. And I recommend to my clients that if you're going to talk to yourself, imagine you're talking to a 10-year-old child who's playing their third ever round of golf. At no point in that round of golf would you ever say to that child, "You're crap. You're not a good guy. God, that's the worst shot I've ever seen. You're a fool. You shouldn't be out here." You wouldn't say anything like that. It's just wrong in so many levels. So why do you do it to yourself? And you do it to yourself because, here's a big revelation, you just always have. And you always have because it's a pattern of behavior you've learned. Often we get it from our childhood when in our early teenage years, our parents will say, "Are you stupid? Are you clumsy?" And after a while, we become the voice that criticizes ourselves. So the second thing to stop emotional hijacking is to talk to yourself kindly. Because emotional overload doesn't make you play better. I promise you. I know people who say to me, "I play better when I'm mad." No, you don't. Do you want a surgeon to operate on you when they're mad? Do you want the bus driver taking you across town to race across town with you in the bus when she's mad? Do you want the pilot of the plane to be mad and angry? You don't. You want them to be cool, calm, and collected. The third thing you can do when you get emotional overload and to stop it sort of infiltrating your system is to just recognize and say, "Boy, I'm mad. Right, I'm now going to be calm." And it's that simple. And it's the old analogy of if someone says something before you answer, count to 10. Because when we're angry, we just shoot from the hip. And it's the same with golf. When we get emotionally overloaded, we suddenly start just, I call it cascading. We cascade into every part of our game. So you hit one bad shot, followed by another bad shot, and suddenly you are ready to throw your club. If you watch professional golf, you will see in some of the show reels or the bonus reels, them showing people like Rory McIlroy throwing a golf club into a lake. Or you'll see a player snapping their putter in half, punishing the club for their anger. So if you can see that players at the highest levels of the game are capable on a golf course of breaking or throwing a club, how emotionally overloaded is it for them? But for them, it's a living. For them, it's the same way that if you had a builder come to your house and you gave them the wrong dimensions for the garage, and then they looked and realized the mistake you had made, and then you say to them, "Well, you've got to redo it," they'll get mad. They're a builder, but they get mad at a building problem. Golfers can get mad at golfing problems. We're not robots. So we're naturally going to get angry. We're naturally going to get upset. So I'm not saying don't become emotionally overloaded, because that's physically impossible unless you're an automaton. But what I am trying to express is that recognize when it's happening. And then there are the strategies I've given you to overcome. You know, a question I often get asked by players is, how do I calm myself down quickly on the golf course? And the advice I give, and I've given to you in past podcasts, is the same. Number one, slow down. I mean, slow down your thinking, slow down your walking, slow down your breathing, slow down your swing, slow down. You know, if you're really angry, it's hard to slow down. And you can only slow down when you're back in control of your thinking and your feelings and your positive actions. If you're mad, you're reacting to what's happening. It's why people who get road rage in cars, they accelerate, they drive fast, they try and, you know, overtake and do crazy things. So that's really what I wanted to look at today, this concept of emotional overload. Don't allow it to cascade, and don't allow it to dominate. Allow it to be, but as I say, observe it dispassionately, slow down, concentrate on your breathing, and be kind to yourself. If you're going to say anything nice, say something nice. For those of you that are really keen to learn more about the mental game of golf, I've created a 13-week program. It's called Silent Mind Golf. And if you go to seagergolf.com, A link will be in this podcast. You can sign up for the 13-week program. It's one lesson a week, and you have to do the lesson, practice some of the stuff, and then you get lesson two, and each lesson builds on the earlier lesson. And the success for people who have done this has been quite extraordinary, from beginners to professionals. And I cannot encourage you enough to do it. If you're a professional or an elite amateur, or indeed someone who's just very, very keen to make as much progress as you can, there are advanced programs where you will be able to work with me on a one-to-one basis, usually by Zoom or in person when it is possible. It starts with 90 minutes together, and we just try and get inside your noggin and unlock the blocks that are stopping you from playing your best golf. Anyway, that's it for me. Have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful weekend. And wherever you are in the world, play great golf.